Turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16 through 23. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 16 through 23. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, for woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this of my own will, I have a reward. But if not of my own will, I have a stewardship entrusted to me. What then is my reward? That when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel without charge, so as not to use to the full my right in the gospel. For though I was free from all men, I brought myself under bondage to all, that I might gain the more. And to the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, not being myself under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. To them that are without the law, as without law, not being without law to God, but under law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak I became weak, that I might gain the weak. I became all things to all men, that I may by all means save some. And I do all things for the gospel's sake, that I may be joint partaker thereof.
Thank you, Brandon. Much appreciated. If you want to turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 20, is where our lesson will begin this morning. And I'll take this thing off. Have you noticed what Paul said in those verses that Brandon read, that he just about bent over backwards for anybody to be able to teach them the gospel? He would become as they are. But that Paul, he would not compromise the Word of God any at all. Because he said in Acts chapter 20 and verse 27, he says, I have not shunned or avoided to declare the whole counsel of God. And up there in Acts 20 and chapter 20, just a few verses above, Paul said that I kept back nothing. So you see, when Paul went preaching, when he went to the Gentiles and the Jews, wherever he was at, they was things that he preached. And one of those things he preached was what Isaiah said in Isaiah chapter 59, verse 2, that sin or your iniquities separate you from God. He didn't hold back. He told them like it was. And also, as he went on, he also taught on marriage and divorce. He taught the same thing Christ said in Matthew chapter 19:9, that the only reason for divorce was fornication. Also, he taught about the women's role in the church in 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 12, that a woman is not to have authority over a man in the church service. And it's a shame as we see that how the church is slacked up on biblical doctrine in places that's letting women take the lead in the services. Also, you'll notice that he had the requirements for the elders. Another thing, in Titus chapter 1 through 6, chapter 1 and 1 through 6, you know, he gave Titus the qualifications for the elders. And you know as good as well as I do, when he sent them out, he didn't say, now Titus, when you get to this place or that place, here is the requirements, but if these men can meet one or two of them, well, go ahead and appoint them. That was not what he said, was it? First, he had to find men that wanted the position to be an elder, and then he had to meet the requirements. And if they didn't meet the requirements, I'm sure that he did not appoint them elders. But it goes on and on, even with baptism in Matthew chapter 16 and verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. And then it says the next verse, he that believeth and... Now you messed me up there. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be condemned. There we go. And he taught that right on down the line. Then he got to teaching about the one church. In Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 4 as we begin, Paul taught that there was one body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God. Because if you declare the whole counsel of God, that means you have to teach the whole truth on all the subjects. You have to teach the woes along with the blessings. Now, if you would, turn to Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Romans chapter 11 and verse 22. Verse 22 says, "Therefore consider the goodness and severity of God on those who fell, severity, but toward you goodness, if you continue in His goodness, otherwise you will also be cut off." Now, it don't take you long to find, if you're trying to teach someone, and there's another topic of what we've not discussed yet that people just don't want to hear about. You know, they don't, it's what we just talked about, they'll listen to it, but when you get to talking about this topic of hell, well, you're going to find out it's not very popular with very many. The worldly people, and then even some religious organizations, declared that hell does not even exist. Now, the worldly people, they seek for a popular doctrine, and the topic of hell is not what people want to hear. They don't want to be told that they might be wrong, and they don't want to be reminded they are accountable for their actions. They are being fed the delusion by false teachers that the sins they commit don't matter. We're all okay just as we are. That's not what the Bible teaches. So turn your Bibles to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4, and let's begin at verse about verse 2. Preach the word, be ready in season and out. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. Now listen to verse 3 and 4. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up teachers for themselves, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside into fables. Excuse me. The Bible teaches something very different than that, doesn't it? That we're going to be held accountable. And they'll heap up these teachers that tell them what they want to hear. They're going to have delusions and thinking they're going to be all right when they are not. And if we do not teach about hell and the judgment and eternal damnation, means are we are leaving something out that people need to hear, and as Jesse would say, to understand. If you would, turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 2. Let's turn back to Romans again and read a few verses there. In Romans chapter 2. Let's begin with verse 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 2. But when we know that judgment of God is according to the truth against those who practice such things, and do you think this, O man, you who judge those practicing such things and doing the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you despise the riches of His goodness, forbearance, and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leads you to repentance? But in accordance with your hardness and of your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Excuse me. Eternal life to those who by patience, continuance in doing good, seek for glory, honor, and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of a man who does evil, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. So God is going to punish sinners. Now, who benefits if hell is not taught? Well, Satan does, of course, don't it? In 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 15, it said that some already at that time had already turned aside to Satan. Now, Satan doesn't want people frightened about the horrible place that many will be going, of that place they call eternal condemnation. So let's go over to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11. I Let's read verses 11 and 12, 14 and 15, excuse me. Chapter 11, 14 and 15. Paul says, "And no wonder, for Satan himself transformed himself into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also transform themselves into ministers of righteousness, whose end will be according to their works." Excuse me again. Now, he would have a hard time filling this place if people would read and understand and see the preview of what hell is literally like. What a shame it is for people that has the delusion that there is no hell, that there's not going to be any eternal punishment whatsoever. You can live your life the way you want to. You can attend worship service or not, or just live your life however you want to. What a shame that people does not have enough knowledge and wisdom, as we talked about this morning, of this place called hell. People think there's no need to change if staying as you are has no consequences. Now, we can't teach or preach about salvation without warning about eternal condemnation. You know, Jesus died to save us from our sins. He died to save us from the consequences of our sins. You remember what Isaiah said, that sin separates you from God. You know, when you obey the gospel, you're tied to the cross with Christ. But when you go to commit a sin or you leave the church, you go back out into the world, you sever that tie that you had. And when that tie is severed, there's a place called hell that's going to be your home for eternity if you don't repent and come back. Moses talked about hell in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy 32:22. Job talked about it in Job 26 and verse 6. David in 2 Samuel chapter 22 and verse 6. David even composed Psalms about it in Psalms 19:9-17, 11:6, and 18:5. So there's a lot to be said about hell and the consequences, isn't it? Paul said in Romans 9:22, he says, "The vessels of wrath are prepared for destruction." Philippians chapter 3 and verse 19, it says, "The enemies of the cross, whose end is destruction." In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, 8 and 9, Paul states the certainty of it. Let's turn there. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, 7, 8, and 9. Let's read those verses. "And to give you who are troubled rest with us when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his mighty angels." Now look at verse 8. "In flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. These shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power." Everlasting. I've used this example maybe here before. If I have, as Billy's aunt would say, listen with a dead ear, deaf ear. A dead one or deaf, either one. I guess either one ain't going to listen. Amazing Grace, the last verse of that says, "We've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun." Now, if you turn that over and look at it the other way, if you're going to spend in everlasting punishment, there's going to be no less days to stay there. You know, we as humans, we're time conscious. You know, we get up at this time and we go to work and we see a time that we get off and we come home and it over the next day, and then when the weekend comes, you've got plans at this time to do this and to do that. So time is very important to us. And it's hard for us to realize there's something that's going to be never-ending. Everlasting destruction. There is no end. No end in sight. But if we go to heaven, there's no end there. We have two places, don't we? Let's look at how the Apostle John, as he is called the Apostle of Love, describes hell in Revelation. Revelation chapter 9 and verse 1 and 2. He describes it as a bottomless pit. In chapter 19 and verse 20, it is described as a lake of fire. In chapter 20 and verse 10, endless torment. In verse 20, or chapter 20 and verse 14 and 15, let's turn there and look at those verses just a minute. Revelation chapter 20, 14 and 15. When death and Hades were cast into the lake of fire, this is the second death. And anyone found not written in the book of life will be cast into the lake of fire. You see, there's what is described as a lake of fire. Anybody that has been burnt on a hand or a finger or whatever, how that pain so hurts. Now, can you imagine to be thrown into a lake of fire with your whole body burning? From now on, never ending. You will have that pain from now on. Let's read verses on 21:8. 21:8. Let's read that while we're here. But the cowardly, unbelieving, abominable, murderers, sexual immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Jesus often spoke of hell also. In the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 22, he described it as hell's fire. And so how many times he warned the Jews, didn't he? In Matthew chapter 23 and verse 33, he says, told them that you're going to be condemned in hell. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 41, a place where there is everlasting fire that is prepared for the devil and his angels. In Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus, let's look at Jesus' description there. He said, it's a broad way that leads to destruction. In Matthew chapter 26 and verse 26, a place that you can lose your soul. Matthew 25 and 30 calls it the outer darkness, weeping and gnashing of teeth. In Matthew 25, 46, eternal punishment. Mark 3:29, eternal condemnation. Mark 9:43 and 44, an unquenchable fire. You know, Christ spoke more about hell than anyone else recorded in the Bible. In Matthew 10:28, we are to fear Him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. So if we don't preach and teach on hell, we don't have love for the lost. Let that sink in just a minute. If we don't preach and teach on hell, we do not love the lost soul. Because converting a sinner saves a soul from death. That's what our preaching and teaching is all about. Not only saving souls, but keeping souls saved. Keeping you keep me and I'll try to keep you saved. That's what it amounts to when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ. We have to encourage one another. You know, how how sorrowful it be if we never got encouragement from our brothers and sisters. You know, we might get to thinking about that they don't care. As we go back and look at what Brandon read there in those verses, let's turn back over and read them. 1 Corinthians. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 once again. Let's read those again. See what Paul done. Let's begin with verse 19, knowing this time. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 19 through 23. For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a servant to all, that I might win the more. And to the Jews I became a Jew, that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without the law, as without the law, not being without law towards God, but under the law towards Christ, that I might win those who are out law, without the law. In verse 22, to the weak I became as weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. In verse 23, I do this for the gospel's sake, that I may be partaker of it with you. So if we neglect to warn about hell and the destruction of our soul, of where we can spend an eternity with the worst people you can ever imagine, the murderers, the child molesters, is that a place that you want to spend eternity? There was a question asked, is why is morality so slipping so? One writer said that it is that millions of people think God is too kind to punish them. 89%, now listen to this, 89% of Americans believe in heaven, but only 31% believe in a place of actual torment. The large majority of the people believe they will go to heaven whether they follow Christ or not. Because He is a God of love, and I will agree with Him 100%, He is a God of love. I don't think any of us could say any different. But this same book that teaches us of His love also warns us of His anger. John 3:16, probably one of the most common known Bible verses. They are. Let's turn over there and let's read it. John 3:16. Most of you wouldn't even have to turn there. Most of us can quote it. I'm going to read it to you out of the New King James. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. But also we have another warning, and we have read it already. You remember what 2 Thessalonians 1:8-9 says? Taking vengeance upon those who do not know God and who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow, what a sobering thought, isn't it? Now, as we come to a close, Matthew 7:13 speaks of the broad way, and this is the road that leads to hell. Now, it's very easy to walk. It just has a gradual slope. Oh, it's soft underfoot, so it's easy to walk. Don't have no sudden turns or no obstacles to crawl over or up and down or under. What a good way to walk, isn't it? But that is not what the Bible teaches in Revelation 22:14-15, does it? As we have read. Bruce, do you have anything to add to this lesson? Leon, do you have anything to add to this lesson before we close? You know, today is an opportunity to consider where we are going. And not only that, maybe to change direction if we're necessary. If you have not obeyed the gospel, you're headed for that bad place that we just talked about. Because if you haven't obeyed the gospel, your sins has not been forgiven. So to do that, you must hear the word of God. You must repent of your sins. You must make a public confession. You must believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. And we can't stop there. Then you have to live a faithful Christian life. Do you need to do that today? Are you on the right path? Or are you on this road that leads to destruction? Be honest with yourself. And not only that, if you're members of the church here and you've committed a sin that brings reproach upon the church, you need to repent of that. If it's a public sin, you need to take care of it publicly. If you've sinned privately, take care of it privately. Or do you just need prayers of the church to pray for you, to give you that strength just to make her through another week? Whatever your need is, please come as we stand and sing the invitation song.
There's a bright